Okay, welcome. We are in Maseches Tainis, Daf Yud Amud Aleph. So the Gemara is involved in a discussion that still relates to a machlokas we saw on Daf Tes Amud Beis. The machlokas on Daf Tes Amud Beis was between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yoshua. What was that machlokas? Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yoshua. The machlokas was, how exactly does rain come and saturate the world? Does rain saturate the world because it emanates from the oceans? That's the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, that water essentially evaporates from the oceans into the cloud system and then is purified and sweetened, I think the Lashon of the Gemara is, and so that it's no longer salty, and then comes back down to the world through the process of rain. Or Rabbi Yoshua's opinion is that there is some sort of, it has nothing to do with the oceans. The oceans are the oceans. And of course there are better oceans and worse oceans. But the actual rain comes from some sort of reservoir of water in the heavens that contains this already sweetened water and just comes down and irrigates the earth. That's Machlokes Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yoshua. So the Gemara says, Tanu Rabbanan, we learned Eretz Yisrael Nivras Techila V'chol Olam Kulo Nivra Lebasof, that creation actually began from Eretz Yisrael. When God created the world, first he created Israel and then he created the rest of the world. We quoted this Gemara in the context of our shir about whether or not one is permitted to ascend Har Habayis. And one of the things we were discussing, if you recall, is one of the shitos with regards to the international dateline. There's a whole discussion. What is halacha's recognition of the international dateline? There has to be a line in the world where essentially you move from today to tomorrow, because the world's divided into 24 different parts on its rotation, and that line was drawn by international consensus, and that international consensus was based on picking an area of the world where they could draw the line latitudinally, and it would not cross over too many things. You didn't want to have towns and cities where for some people it's today and for some people it's tomorrow. So, but that line was drawn fairly arbitrarily. So the question is, how does halacha relate to that line? That became a very halacha lemaisa question when the Mir Yeshiva found itself in Shanghai. And that is an area under dispute of exactly where the international dateline is from a halakhic perspective. And we have the correspondence between the Talmidim of the Mir and the Chazon Ish to discuss this whole halakhic issue. So one opinion, I believe it's the opinion of Tukhachinsky, is that the halakhic international dateline actually runs through Yerushalayim. And the reason is this Gemara. The reason is because if the world was first created from Eretz Yisrael, that means time began in Eretz Yisrael. So if we're going to pick a spot in the world, that should be the one that we should begin the rotation, so to speak. So that should be Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael nivras tchila v'chol olam kulo nivra lebasof. Shenemar, how do you know that? Ad lo asa Eretz v'chutzos. Because when describing creation, the Pasuk says that Hashem did not yet create, or until he created, Eretz, which is one land, v'chutzos, and those lands outside of it, distinguishing between Eretz Yisrael and outside Eretz Yisrael. Mashke osa HaKadosh Baruch Hu ba'atzmo. Eretz Yisrael, mashke osa HaKadosh Baruch Hu ba'atzmo. V'chol ha'olam kulo al yedei shliach. Eretz Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, creates rain on his own. It's by the direct power and hashkacha and influence of God. V'chol ha'olam kulo, and the rest of the world, al yedei shaliach. God does that through a messenger, through some sort of malach. Shenemar. How do you know that? Because it says, hanosein matar al penei ha'aretz. Hanosein, the one who gives rain on the land. Vishaleach mayim al penei chutzos. And vishaleach, he sends through a shliach water and through al penei chutzos on the areas outside. So the area of Eretz Yisrael should get rain directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu outside of Eretz Yisrael, not through a shliach. Eretz Yisrael shows emei geshamim. Eretz Yisrael actually drinks directly from rain. B'chol olam kulo mit amtsis, and the rest of the world gets the leftovers from whatever Eretz Yisrael doesn't need. Shenemar, as it says in the pasuk, hanosein matar al pnei aretz. Matar, which is, as we've been learning, matar is a more impactful form of rain. That comes on Pnei Ha'aretz, and then the rest of the pasuk that we saw before, v'shaleach mayim, and that's only mayim, only a little water, al Pnei Chutzos, that's like the runoff. Mashal, it's a parable, Adam, to a man, shemegabel es agvina, who's dealing with making cheese, notel es ha'ochel, and in the process of making cheese, he takes the best of the mixture, umeiniach es apsolas, and the whey, which is also relevant for the making of other dairy products, but not what he's looking for, that he leaves on its own. The Rishonim discussed, and the Achronim discussed, we learned in the Gemara, if you remember at the beginning of the Masechta, that rain is one of the three things, or rain is one of the things that a Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't do al yidei shliach. Kadosh Baruch Hu does on his own. He doesn't hand the maftechos over to anybody else. So some of us are of the opinion that, of course, when the Gemara said that, it only meant rain in Eretz Yisrael. Rain in Eretz Yisrael, Hashem doesn't give over to anybody else. Rain in Chutz Laretz, that can be the job of a trusty malach. And other opinions say that no, what it means is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sort of gathers the rains in the clouds. That Hashem does on his own. And then the rains divide into two areas. The rain in Eretz Yisrael, Hashem does directly from the original reservoir of Shamayim. But the rain in Chutz La'aretz, that can already come stage two through the Malach. What does all this mean? All this means that we have to recognize that there is an additional dimension of Hashkacha when it comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's interface with Eretz Yisrael than there is with a God's interface with the rest of the world. Doesn't mean that God doesn't control and guide the rest of the world, but he does so in a more distant manner, in a more removed manner. The presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Eretz Yisrael is so overt, is so palpable, is so connected that the Hashkacha is one that is more direct. It is one that is more engaged. And therefore, even the tefillos for rain in Eretz Yisrael are different because the appeal is, so to speak, directly to the source. In the Chutz La'aretz, we're looking to access the system of rain. Kadosh Baruch Hu should decide to give us rain through whatever systems and considerations and celestial beings are necessary in order for that to ultimately happen. But the sense of hashkacha is much more acute in the land of Israel. Amar Mar, so we already said, Mamtikin Hein Be'avim, that the water, right? We said that according to Rabbi Eliezer, that the water gathers from the oceans and is sweetened, because the water in the ocean is salty, it's sweetened in the clouds. Minole, so how do you know that? That's quite a profound assertion. To Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yosef, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, says Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yosef, name Rabbi Yochanan, Ksiv, it says, Chashchas Mayim Avei Shichokim. That Chashchas Mayim, the darkness of the water, is Avei Shichokim, or thick like clouds. The Ksiv, and then there's another pasuk, a very similar phrase, Chashras Mayim, that the sieve of water, Avei Shichokim, is thick like clouds. And that sprinkles the rain. So the Gemara says we could make a little drasha here. Shakol chaf v'shadi aresh. Take the chaf. The only difference between this word chashchas and this word chashras is the chaf and the resh. So take the chaf, combine it with the resh, and we get a new word. And that word is v'kari bei chachshoras. Chachshoras means preparation. So what does it mean? The preparation of water occurs in the thickness of the clouds, indicating that something happens in the clouds to transform the water. What happens? It takes the salty water of the oceans and it sweetens the water up and sends it down to the earth. Rabbi Yoshua, so what about Rabbi Yoshua? He says that that's not the system at all. He says the water comes straight from heaven. So what does he do with this drasha? So he says, Bahani Koroi my Dorish Bahu. What does he do with these drushos? Sabrlahi old, ki ha dechi asi rabdimi. It's similar to Rabdimi said. Omar Amri b'Ma'arava, that they would say in Ma'arava, Nahor Anani Zeirin Mohi, that if the clouds are light, then you could assume that the rain will be light. But chashoch anani, if the clouds are dark, sagyon mohi, then the rain will be more heavy. Keman azla hoditanya, who is the following brisa following? What does that brisa say? Mayim el ha'elyonim, the upper waters, b'mamar heim tilu. They are suspended. What holds that reservoir of water up there? a ma'amar, a saying of God, meaning literally the will of God is expressed through his words. Uperosehen, and Rashi explains, the metaphor of perosehen means their fruits, which means that the actual reservoir does not deplete at all. The rain that we experience is simply the offspring, so to speak, of that water, of that heavenly water. Megashamim, that's the Megashamim. Shenemar, as it says, Mipri ma'asecha, from the fruits of your creation, Tisba ha'aretz, you satisfy the earth. Keman, who does that follow? Rabbi Yoshua. So that certainly sounds like Rabbi Yoshua, that there's some sort of great reservoir up there in the sky that is producing the rain that we experience. Rabbi Eliezer, what is Rabbi Eliezer? How does he relate to this? Ahu b'maisa yadav shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says, no, Rabbi Eliezer says, this has nothing to do with the systems of rain, but rather the pasuk, or this mimer, is just describing to you the creation of the water altogether. And therefore, the system still works with the oceans, but this is just telling you that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created this entire system of water. Dechsiv, as it says, who dichsiv? That's what the pasuk is describing. Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, kolam kulo mitamsis gan eden hu. The entire world is the leftovers of the rain that is given to gan eden. Hu shose. That's what we drink. Shenemar, as it says, v'nahar yotze mi eden. That there is a river that flows out from Eden and irrigates the world. Tano, we learned mitamsis beis kur shose tirkav. From the leftover of the amount of water that it takes to irrigate a field that is the size of a kur is 30 sa'a, from the amount of leftover, you can irrigate 3 kav. 3 kav is a half of a sa'a. If a kur is 30 sa'a, that means 3 kav is a 60th of a kur. So when you have a container that has enough water to irrigate a kur, the leftovers of what you would need can irrigate a 60th of that kur. What is that? How is that relevant? That's relevant to the next Gemara. Tana Rabbanan, the Rabbanan learn, Eretz Mitzrayim, the land of Mitzrayim, have you dalid amos parsa, al dalid amos parsa. 400 parsels by 400 parsels. Hu echon mishishim bekush, it's a 60th of the land of Kush. The Kush, echon mishishim ba'olam. And Kush is a 60th of the rest of the world. The Olam and the world, Echon Mishishim Began, is a 60th of the size of the original Gan. The Gan and the original Gan, it's not Gan Eden, it's Gan Be'eden, right? The original Gan, that original garden, Echon Mishishim Le'eden, is a 60th the size of Eden. It's interesting, and I think in our imagery, we sort of picture the Garden of Eden as this very small space, right? Like some hidden, utopia, right? I don't know about my backyard, but, I can't imagine any Passaic backyard, but maybe there is one. But, we picture it as sort of this small space. So it's interesting. This Gemara depicts Gan Eden as being many, many times larger than the world. Our world is like an offshoot of that Gan. The Eden, and Eden, where the Gan is, Echad Mishishim L'Gehenim. That's very big, but you should know that as big as that is, it's not anywhere as big as Gehenim. Gehenim is 60 times that size. Nimsa Kol Olam Kulo Kekisui Kedera L'Gehenim. So it would appear that the entire world is so small relative to Gehenim, it's like a pot cover of hell. Maybe that also describes certain areas of the world. V'yesh Omrim says, and some say, Gehenim ain la shir, that Gehenim has no shir, it's so big. V'yesh Omrim, Eden ain la shir. Some say, Eden has no shir, it's so big. Omar Rabbi Oshia, says Rabbi Oshia, Ma'i dichsiv shochenes amayim rabim, rabas otsoros, that he sits on lots of water, and there are many otsoros, there are many storehouses. Mi garam lebavel, who causes that bavel, shiyu otsorosea meleos bar, that Bavel was a very rich place in terms of the fact that its harvest was very good. It had a lot of grain. Havi Omer Mivnei Shochenes Al Mayim Rabim. Since Bavel is a place that has a lot of water, there's a lot of saturation. It's a lower area. Therefore, Amayim Rabim. Therefore, it didn't really need rain. It didn't need rain the same way because it had the presence of water to irrigate the fields. Amarav Asira, Babel de Chatzda below Mitra, that Amarabaya Naktinan Tuvani below Yuvshani. That Bavel is an area that is swampy and it has a lot of, first of all, Chatzda below Nitra, it grows things without rain. And it also, Tovani, it's like swampy below Yuvshani, it doesn't dry up. Bavel's a place that, that could produce food. So maybe now we understand a little better when we were discussing yesterday the Tkufa of Ezra and Nehemiah and how few people were willing to return from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is a place whose climate is so precarious. It's a place, it's a dry climate, and it's really completely dependent on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if you've kind of gotten used to an area where, of course, Bavel is also dependent on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but its natural resources are such that you don't really have to worry the same way, because they're present, they're there, and it's not as vulnerable to the weather patterns in the same degree. So how do you leave a lifestyle that's so predictable and so safe and so calm and so reliable for an area that you have no idea what's going to be, right? And that's to a large degree. How do you leave the comfort of a society where you understand the economic system, or maybe you have a job, or maybe you have something that you can rely on, and go to a place that you don't even know what's going to be. But that's the area of Bavel. Okay. Now the Gemara returns in the Mishnah on Daf Yud Amud Aleph. So now we return to the discussion of Shaul and Esa Geshamim. So remember, we had transitioned from mentioning Geshamim, like mentioning Mashiva Ruach Morid HaGashem, to the experience of Shaul and Esa Geshamim, to asking for rain. So says the Mishnah the following. Asking for rain refers to inserting the same talu matar livracha in the bracha of birchas hashanim. The gimel b'mar cheshvan, on the third day of cheshvan, sho'alinis ha-gishamim. We ask for gishamim. Now, just to recap, when are we mentioning gevuros gishamim? We concluded shmini atzeres, right? The last day of Sukkot. But there is a delay to when we actually ask for rain, right? So the Tanakhama says that delay is till the third day of cheshvan. Rabban Gamliel says, "B'shiva bo, on the seventh day of Cheshvan, tesvav yom achar achag, and that is 15 days after the after Sukkot, right? The seventh day of Cheshvan." Says the Mishnah, "Why do we wait 15 days after Sukkot when we're already mentioning rain? It's already the rainy season. We need the rain. Kadesh shiagia achron shebi Yisrael nehar peras, in order to provide opportunity for those Jews who are in the communities furthest from the border to be able to reach home after Aliyah L'Regel. We don't want to ask for rain."